Today is a day about love. And we love lots of things and people and experiences. Oh, after shoveling, I love coming in to a warm cup of tea. So nice to come in out of the cold. In seventh grade, my parents got me a new pair of dress black shoes, and I loved those shoes so much. I wore them to school. I felt like $1 million. Oh, I love those shoes. What are some things that you love, Scott? What's something that you love? Yeah. What's something that you love, Jason? Warm weather. That's for sure. That's for sure. What's something that you love, Ladine? Your children. Yes, of course. Of course. How about you, Andrew? What's something that you love? Yes, your fiance. Good. Brandon, what's something that you love? Your friends. Yeah. We love all kinds of things and people and experiences. And I'm sure most of you would say that you would love your fiance, you would love your friends, you would love your son more than you would love a cup of tea or even warm weather, right, Jason? Right? And so we certainly understand that certain loves are more important than other loves. St. Augustine talked about this. He called it rightly ordered love. Something that he spent a lot of time discussing in his book. St. Augustine, one of our very most important theologians from the very ancient church. So this idea of rightly ordered love is something we kind of all understand a little bit already. Jesus is helping us understand that more through his experiences with the devil. Let's look at that story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness through the idea of rightly ordered love and how Jesus and Satan define love differently. So Satan is out there, and he offers Jesus self-indulgence and an improper self-reliance. He says, just make your bread from the stones. But Jesus loves God more, and so trusts God and relies on God for his food. We cannot live by bread alone. The next thing, Satan offers Jesus a sense of self-aggrandizement and improper control. He says, that's what your relationship with God or yourself needs to be like. All the nations on the earth, he said, they should be bowing to you. But Jesus says, no, no, no. Jesus loves God more, trusts God, relies on God for his security, turning to God alone. Finally, Satan offers Jesus a self-righteous identity and a manipulative relationship with God. If you are the Son of God, then you should exercise your rights as the Son of God and, you know, start doing crazy stuff. Throw yourself off the temple. God has to protect you if you are the Son of God. But Jesus loves God, trusts God, relies on God's character and instruction so much that he does not need to put God to the test and follows what the scripture says. So for Satan, this is what love looks like. Love looks like a rugged individualist finding his own sustenance, taking control of every situation, and believing in himself despite the risks and consequences. Love means looking out for me and my wants without regard for God. Is that rightly ordered love? Jesus' way of ordering love looks quite different. Trusting God's love above all else. Turning to God for food. Turning to God for help. Trusting that God is in control of every situation and nation. And relying on God without need for any particular sign. Love means looking to God in every situation. And that is the rightly ordered love that Jesus is demonstrating. It reminds me of a song. We used to sing it all the time. We'll sing it today. It goes, it's you are my all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. And one time I was singing that song. I was singing that song at day camp when I was in college. We used to go around. I was part of a team that would lead vacation Bible schools at different churches. And I'm up front with my guitar in church, and all the little kids are around here, and we're singing a song, you know. And I'm thinking, Jesus, you are my all in all. And I was like, no, he's not. Like, it was a starting realization, because at that time, I was dating a young woman, and my love were out of order. My loves were out of order. Because I was thinking to myself, as I was singing these lyrics, I was thinking, she is my strength when I am weak. That's not right. I look to her to give me strength when I feel weird. She is the treasure that I am seeking favor from with great energy, like a treasure or a jewel. She's become my all in all. Ooh, it was very startling. Now, having romantic feelings in and of themselves isn't bad, and having a crush, you know, that's okay. It's good. In its proper order. In its proper order. So the question for today, for you, and the question for Lent, for all of us, is where is your heart? Where are your loves? Are things out of order in your heart? In your loves. We can read the passage from Romans today with that understanding. Where we put, where the word pistuo, which is the Greek word, gets translated believe, we have to understand it with a much deeper level. Pistuo doesn't just mean believe. And in English, when we hear the word believe, we think, you know, I believe this, you know, XYZ. It's a head thing. It's a knowledge thing. But pistuo in Greek has a much deeper level of understanding. It means trust, rely, faithful. And so let me read this Romans passage from that perspective, expanded to include the meaning of the original Greek. And I want you to hear it again, asking that question, where is your heart? Where are your loves? The word is near you, says St. Paul, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of trust and reliance that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and trust in him from your heart and rely on him from your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one trusts and relies with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who trusts and relies on him will be put to shame. So where is your heart? Where are your loves? Ah, we have lots of loves. So many loves. That's what we talked about earlier today. And it really does matter how we put them in order. How God is helping us to put them in order. As Christ demonstrated in his temptation with the devil. And it's important for many reasons for us to examine during Lent where our heart is and where our loves are. First, our behavior is a reflection of our heart. I'm thinking back on my various loves from college. And I mean that in the Valentine sense. I remember, you know, my heart was set on this young woman, and I would write her notes all the time. And believe it or not, I would mail them in the mail with a postage stamp. But I did that like 3 or 4 times a day, or a week, not a day, a week. And you're like, wow, gosh, Pastor Aaron, this is insane. But it shows you that where my heart was, my behavior followed. Right? I did things, even though we were in a long-distance relationship, she lived 3 hours away. Right? My behavior followed where my heart was. And this is what Jesus himself teaches. He says in Luke chapter 6, the good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Where is your heart? Where are your loves? So that's one important reason to ask that question. The second reason is that when our loves are out of order, we are neglecting to think about the greatest commandment, which is the ordering principle for our loves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, with all your heart, right? That's the first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. So the question is, where is your heart? Where are your loves? And love your neighbor as yourself. And number three, this one's a little bit tricky, but it's important. And here's a good example from my college days, since we're on that track. I remember being in the cafeteria when I was in a relationship with this other young woman in college, and just praying so fervently at dinner. Oh, God, thank you for this food, and thank you for my special someone so far away, and pray that you're with her. And I'd be in the store, and I'd be shopping for something, and I'd think, oh, maybe she would like this. Or, you know, I'd be out in a class, and I'd be like, oh, maybe I can talk about this with her. Right? When your heart is set on something, you start to notice things all during the day that might relate to that person, stories or things or gifts or whatever. But it's that way with God, too. It's that way with God, too. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, we know that all things work together for the good of for those who love God. C.S. Lewis puts it this way, it's like chasing the sunbeam back to the sun. Now, what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is that when our heart is set on the Lord, everything that we do, everything we participate in, every circumstance or situation becomes something that happens in the Lord. And God indeed can be present to you in whatever. You could sit down on this cushioned chair this morning and think to yourself, oh, thank the Lord for cushions. I don't know. You could come in out of the cold and say, thank the Lord for some dude who mined the natural gas that is heating up our sanctuary today. I don't know. My point is that as we think about rightly ordered love and where our heart is, in every situation, God is available to you. You can ask the question, in every place, how are you, how am I with God with this? How am I with God with this? Where is your heart? Where are your loves? Finally, the most important thing to remember in all of the midst of our asking and our wondering, it's that it is God who has a crush on us. It's God who's pining after you. It's God who has written you love letter after love letter every weekday, two or three times a day. Today, as we think about relationships and love, know this. In your heart, that God is obsessed with you, that Jesus looks at you fondly, desires to be with you, is always whispering your name. That you are his precious jewel. That you are the treasure that Jesus is seeking. And that through that love, that we might be drawn into his love. until at last we are truly all in all together. Amen.